Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, unless you've been living under a rock for the past couple of years, you have probably seen and maybe even become a bit attached to some of the shows on television today having to do with makeovers. You can make over everything from your home to your shoes, your wardrobe, your hair, stop you on the street, surprise you with a makeover. It's all a lot of fun and, of course, very entertaining. But for businesses, have you ever considered that our businesses may sometimes need a bit of an extreme marketing makeover? And our guest today says, well, you know, most of us probably could, and we're going to talk to him about that today. His name is Gil Efron, and he is the president and CEO of Strategies for Growth, and its 10-day marketing makeover division. He blends a creative problem-solving capability with exacting implementation tactics to help guide business owners and professionals on how best to transform their marketing effectiveness, sales efficiencies, and bottom line results. His new book is called How to Give Your Business an Extreme Marketing Makeover, and he joins us today from his offices in New York. Gil, welcome to Indie Business Podcast.
Good afternoon, Donna Maria.
So, Gil, I'm excited to have you. Tell us a little bit about this makeover concept. We're all familiar with it. What is it that strikes you as making it a useful concept for small business owners?
It's an extremely useful approach for all business owners. I think there's a tendency, in fact, I know that there's a tendency in small business, when there's a problem with marketing or with sales, that the approach is to try to fix that one little broken piece. And too often, people don't realize that marketing is part of a process. I use the term in the book, a sales process. A sales process is what happens from the very beginning of client attraction to this post-sale era where you're getting referrals from people. Both of those are a process. When you are changing a component of an existing marketing strategy, you're very likely just to, I call it moving the dust around. Mm-hmm. You don't really get to the bottom of the problem. You don't really fix what's happening. You just change it. And changing it is not necessarily improving it.
So this, you know, as the term makeover sort of implies, you know, it's more than, as you say, just rolling the dust around. You've got to roll up your sleeves and make some things happen. So for people that are listening, again, these are small business owners, as you know, most of them wearing most of the hats. Where do we start with this idea of making sure that we can maximize our time if we want a makeover? Can we start with one area of our business, or can we only make progress if we look at the whole big picture?
In the book, I talk about a 5-step process. And essentially those steps are, and you mentioned makeover shows, makeover television shows, and yes, that's perhaps where I was inspired to think about this. There's one out there that I really like. It's called What's Not to Wear. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
Okay. Essentially what happens is that they take someone who may not be creating the very best impression. They go into their closet and literally start throwing things out. Mm-hmm. Well, the first step, and then the way it ends, you know, is that they get $5,000 to go shopping in New York, and that takes them about 4.5 minutes, and then everybody mm-hmm. smiles and they're happy at the end. But I think what's the carryover into marketing is that I talk about going into the marketing closet. Too many business owners don't realize what is in their marketing closet now, what they are doing, what they are committed to in terms of time, in terms of money. And consequently, they don't know what's working and isn't working. So part of the first step in this process is to go into the closet, into the marketing closet, see what's there, look at return on investment. look at what approaches are working, what used to work better, what is just seems like it's a waste of time and energy. At that point, that's the inventory. I'm not throwing anything out, but I definitely want to know what's there. Okay, so that's the first step. The second step is that I go in and I analyze the sales process. By sales process, I'm talking about the steps that are most common to most transactions. It starts with client attraction. I mentioned that before. There's always, in every transaction, there's a component of gathering information about the prospect, rapport building. There's education about my products and services. Then I deal through other sections here on handling objections, on dealing with pricing, and on actually going all the way through making the sale, beyond the sale to follow to delivery or fulfillment, follow up after the sale, and then this post-sale customer or consumer for life kind of an intellect. So that the second stage is I want to know what's in there, what all of those steps are. When I'm working with somebody on this process, I actually either take some very large sheets of paper or a roll of paper or a whiteboard, and we walk through it. We say, okay, what's here?
Mm-hmm.
What is this typical transaction like? And once I have that, I can really see, and they begin to see, you know what, this doesn't, why are we doing this? You know, why do we have this in here?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way of streamlining it a little bit? So the other thing that I do at the end of this second step here, which is looking at the existing sales process, I look for something that are called points of constraint. These are like brick walls, and this actually was something that was introduced back in 1984 by a process engineer by the name of Dr. Eli Goldratt. That's not important, but I like to say his name, okay? He wrote
memorable.
A book called, Goldratt, okay? And he wrote a book called The Goal. And as a process engineer, one of his premises is that any process can be improved. He also says that in any process, there are typically two or three points of constraint where things just bog down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, so, Donna Maria, what's the number one point of constraint in today's market?
Mm-hmm.
Price. Okay? We know that that's a point of constraint. So I want to identify clearly where those points of constraint are. I worked with a home remodeling company and still work with them on an ongoing consulting arrangement where we ascertained that pricing indeed was their problem. Their number one point of constraint. The second is that prospects lied to them. They just, trying to sell a large job, a kitchen remodeling activity or new bathrooms or whatever, you know, they just couldn't get real answers out of the people. So that was the second point of constraint. So once I have that, once I know what's in the closet from a marketing standpoint, what I know what the sales process looks like and where those points of constraint are, then I move on to what I call the fun part, and that is the next step, the third step, is to create an ideal sales process. Now, I'm going to do this a little bit differently. I went through the steps of the sales process in the beginning. I said, okay, we've got from start to finish, it started with client attraction, information gathering, rapport building, all the way through closing the sale, delivery and fulfillment, and so on and so forth. Now, in creating the ideal sales process, I work backwards. I start at this customer or client for life, and I say to myself, here's where I am. I want to make sure that I maximize the value of this relationship and everything that it can do for me. So working backwards does a couple of things. One is that if I started at client attraction, I'm bringing people into a sales process that's broken.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm expending energy in the wrong place at that time. If I fix the back end first, then people who are in the pipeline, people who are coming in, will ultimately get to something that is better.
So, Gil, is it kind of like it reminds me of what Stephen Covey says? He says, always start with the end in mind. Is that an analogy that's applicable here? Because
it's excellent. It's a very good one. And if you don't know where you want to be, how will you know when you get there?
Right, right.
And then, and how I apply that in the Extreme Marketing Makeover is once I have constructed this and I work all the way, I start at the very end of this process and work toward the beginning, and in the same way that I charted the sales process, I'm going to chart this ideal sales process. And then I'm going to ask myself this question. If I know that price is going to be that number one point of constraint, I say, where in the process can I address the issue of price so that when we get here to this point, it's easier?
Okay.
Let me give you an example. I mentioned that this home remodeling company in Cincinnati, their number one point of constraint was price. And they would do great until they got to the point where they put the price out in front of the client, and you know, the client would faint and everything else. They did great work, by the way. They do tremendous work. So one of the things that we did was to say, okay, what can I do prior to this point to make things more likely to go in our way so that we're going to close this sale? One of the things that we did way back in the beginning is we created and this is just using some slides that they would hold up, just 8.5 by 11 laminated sheets that talked about pricing practices in the home remodeling industry. And they were in a process, they were in a mode of educating. And when it took them a few minutes to go through this, they pointed out where other people try to take disadvantage of them. They pointed out that one of the big differences is that the other companies might come in and often do come in and say, oh, we forgot to include the roof. Did you want the roof? So they add the roof later on. But in the situation with this home remodeling company, what they did is, I lost my train of thought here for a second. I drifted.
That's okay. So we were talking about creating your ideal sales process and
working. Yeah, okay. So what they did is they essentially just said, in our system, you know, what we do is we just do the job as it's quoted. And then from there would be no, unless you change, talking to the prospect, unless you change the specifications, it stays the way it is.
Right.
It will not increase. When they got through explaining all of this, and it's much more detailed than I'm doing it right now, obviously, they would say to the prospect, if everything I told you were true, would we really be any more expensive than anyone else? And at that point, they were able to educate that prospect that they were right where they needed to be.
Okay, so, if price, for example, and this is probably a good discussion focusing on price because that's what so many small businesses are dealing with today. Do I raise, do I lower, or do I do what you're talking, well, raising would not be good necessarily, but lowering is what most people seem to be doing. What you're suggesting is that that not only might not that not be the way to go generally anyway, but you're suggesting there is an alternative which involved rolling up your sleeves and taking a look at the process, identifying that point of constraint as the price, and then how can you work with your customers to show them that it's really not the point of problem that they might think it is?
That is correct. That is correct. And I'll just move on with that because that, remember, we're working backwards. So that's not the only time that I would address that. Prior to leaving, prior to saying, okay, now that I understand what the specifications are and what you want to do, let me explain to you what we're going to do next. This is them talking.
Okay.
We're going to come back and provide you with three different solutions. Essentially, it's a good, better, best.
Mm-hmm.
And what we will do in there is that whatever you choose is fine. It doesn't matter. It's going to be top quality. But there are more bells and whistles in the best than there is in the good.
Of course.
If you have ceiling fans and skylights and all of the other thing, you know, you wouldn't have that in the good. One of the things that this did is that because of the price range, and let's say we're talking about a job that might be, we price it $15,000, $20,000, $25,000. So that homeowner really has a choice in there.
Right, right.
By doing this, what's human nature is going to lead us to that midpoint.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that it did is that it showed that we really weren't that far off. Our good price was pretty much equivalent to what was out there, or maybe a little bit higher. But we had already educated them about how we were going to do a better job, no upcharges, no changes in anything. If we forget something, we eat it. So it's what?
Can this process be scaled, Gil, for companies that sell products, business to consumer, like consumer products, for example? When you have to do the process that you're talking about one time to serve a multiple people, as opposed to, you know, a larger contracting arrangement where, you know, you need far fewer customers to make your profit. If you're selling consumer products, can you take this process of working backward from what you want to what you need to do to, you know, put the platform in place to market it? Can you do that when you are working one manufacturer, one product manufacturer to, you know, to the masses? Are there things that you can put into this process that you're describing more on a one-on-one basis?
Give me an example of this.
Okay, sure.
Product that you're thinking about.
Okay, well, most of our listeners manufacture some sort of health, beauty, or lifestyle product. So they may make cosmetics or toiletries, for example, or maybe candles or something that is, you know, they may have 25 products in their line. The products don't change. There's no customization involved. And so, but they may have that price point problem. In other words, you know, in 2007, all their candles were selling for $20 each, and now all of a sudden, the same types of customers are saying, oh, that's too much money. So there's your point of constraint, or one of them,
mm-hmm.
and you obviously can't negotiate or talk with each one of those customers individually. You have a website, you have a Facebook page, so you're reaching multiple people through your newsletter, your Twitter page, whatever your marketing is. Can you share how a company in that position can work back through your ideal sales process from what they want to, you know, looking at analyzing that sales process and making the changes that take price, for example, out of that place of constraint and remove it? And I know we're talking big picture here, but just big picture ideas to do that. Would it be, you know, making more use of the benefits of the product? Is it comparative selling? What sorts of suggestions would you have for a company in that position?
Okay, good question. Let's see if I can do this quickly.
I know. Again, we're talking big picture. I know the devil.
I understand that. But you know, so much of what I do is really looking at something that is real rather than hypothetical. But
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
so we still have a sales process, even though it's automatic. And if there is a sales process, there are always points of constraint. You know, identified price is one of them. So if price is a point of constraint, what can you do in there? What other benefits can you bring into this arena
mm-hmm.
that would offset the fact that your prices are not as low as someone else?
Okay. What are you bringing to the table? Okay.
Okay. So you could bring free shipping, now conditional mm-hmm. upon you order a certain number and you get the free shipping.
Mm-hmm.
You could introduce an exchange and return policy that absolutely cannot happen if they're buying out of China,
mm-hmm.
so that you can rotate inventory. That you mm-hmm. there are things, and again, if we were talking mm-hmm. about something specific and I could look at it, it would be easier for
mm-hmm.
me to see.
Mm-hmm.
But if there are steps in a process, there are always things that you can do
mm-hmm.
to make it more exciting.
Okay,
in today's world, I'm not a Twitter or a Facebook kind of a person. It's just my nature. I can't say anything in 140 characters.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a way of putting together a Facebook campaign for your end user clients, so that they can go out to educate their customers about why these candles are so much better.
Mm-hmm.
The burn time is longer. There are ways of dealing with that.
Mm-hmm. And it's so good that you're saying this, because it goes back to what you said at the very beginning, which is you have to know what's in your closet. How are you marketing what you have? Taking that inventory is so critical. Otherwise, you may make some tweaks and changes in this step three that would end up being a waste of your time. So you really do have to start with those basics. And another thing that you're pointing out that
I can just interrupt for 1 second.
Sure.
The biggest problem is when somebody is looking at all of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
not my stuff, but their situation, and they say, our price is too high, we have to lower the price.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where they get in trouble, because it's not one single thing.
Mm-hmm.
As I said at the very beginning, marketing, the sales process, what we're talking about with points of constraint, it is all part of a process. And like my friend Dr. Eli Goldratt, any process can be improved.
Uh-huh.
That's it. The difference between looking at marketing as a standalone activity, looking at it as a bunch of different things that we do, is that it is a process.
I love that. And that pricing issue, just going back to that for 1 second, just lowering your prices, if you're making an assumption that that is the point of constraint, number one, that's an assumption that may not be true. And number two, while that may be the point of constraint, lowering the price as opposed to showing why that price is reasonable under the circumstances would be another assumption that could lead to problems in and of itself that you don't even have right now. Like,
right, and let's go back to the candle thing one more time. You know, if they are ordering out of China, it's going to take forever.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand that, and you have to understand your clientele,
customer,
to understand the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the industry and you say to them, hey, we're now on a 48-hour ship turnaround. You want it, bang, it's on your door in 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to help you reduce the inventory you need in your store.
Right. And win you some loyalty, too. Look at what it did for Zappos, of course.
Right.
Getting them sales so quickly. So we've got taking inventory, analyzing the sales process, creating your ideal sales process, working backwards. Those are the first three, and I know we're doing a high-level overview here. What are the last two, Gil, in your process here?
Okay, the last four would then be to create what I call good marketing that supports the sales process. And unlike other people who define what marketing is and what good marketing might be, I say that it's any activity that speeds, shortens, streamlines, or favorably influences the outcome of the sales process.
I like that.
Got it?
Yes.
Any activity that speeds, shortens, streamlines, or favorably influences the outcome of the sales process.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm looking at something, and I work with a lot of smaller businesses too, and they say, well, we always advertise in this program for the high school baseball team. I said, okay, that's a contribution. That's not marketing, okay? But anything that I am looking at from a marketing activity must support that. If it is not speeding, shortening, or streamlining,
okay,
then it doesn't belong there. I mentioned in the sales presentation with the home remodeling company of using these 8.5 by 11 laminated sheets. That's part of it. That is speeding and shortening the outcome of that sales process through education.
Mm-hmm. And that is so big. Education is so huge, again, for our audience today, Gil, because we do, as very small business owners, have access to these fantastic tools like Facebook and blogging and newsletters and things like that that can help us, you know, use technology to streamline that educational process, which is a form of marketing that supports that sale. So the analogy being, you know, your laminated handout and your newsletter.
It doesn't matter what those tools are.
Right.
As long as it is directly, I can say in here, mm-hmm. at this particular point in, and some people get sales process and sales presentation, kind of they see that as one and the same, and I see it that way. Mm-hmm. When I'm doing this, I say to my client, we're choreographing the entire thing. That's what we're doing. It's a dance, and it's always going to be the same. Mm-hmm. When you get to that point, you introduce it. And what I'm looking for, quite honestly, is when I'm holding up this marketing item and you look at it and you can't tell if it's marketing or part of the sales process, then it's in the right place doing the right job.
Okay, because it does seem to be a little bit of a merger. Years ago, everything sort of was in these silos. You had like sales teams, you had marketing teams, or you put on your sales hat or your marketing hat, and maybe there never really was a need for those silos, but I certainly see in a larger scale of business a merger of those two functions.
In smaller businesses where the business owner is wearing many hats, they mm-hmm. are the marketing director, they're the sales director, they're mm-hmm. the everything director.
Right.
And this allows them to simplify how they are seeing this process.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I find very exciting about it is that one of the things that happens as a result of this is that the planning for marketing and marketing components is much more strategic,
mm-hmm.
and it requires less money. I'm thinking my way through it.
Right.
I'm not wasting anything.
Good.
Now,
and that's so important. Yes, the fifth step, the fifth and final step.
Fifth step, real fast, is just basically to create a plan to implement this.
Okay.
And I we don't have to talk about that right now. I think that speaks for itself. But essentially, that's what it's all about, is to go through those four primary steps and
mm-hmm.
then go into the last one, which is saying, okay, how do we implement this?
That's so good. And I'm sort of seeing a funnel here. I'm seeing step one being like the big, huge circle at the top of the funnel. And then as we come down, it narrows and narrows, you know, to like a slender little waistline there where you've gotten it down to the basic marketing tools that you need. And then you can take those and you can, on the bottom end, expand that funnel going outward to reach your customer base and more of them as you move forward.
Right, exactly. And what I didn't mention is, you know, early on I said, no, let's not throw anything out of the marketing closet, but by the
mm-hmm.
time we're building that third step, the ideal sales process, we're definitely...
Right. We've narrowed it down.
We've narrowed it down. We're getting rid of anything that doesn't support it.
Excellent. So just like anything else, there's a you know, a lot of embracing of you know, the time and energy that's needed to start that process, but you're saving yourself so much trouble in the long run by narrowing your processes down and making things more streamlined. And I love that definition of marketing. I'm going to read it one more time because I think it's so good. Any activity that speeds, shortens, streamlines, or favorably influences the outcome of the sales process. And for small business owners, as you mentioned before, that's almost everything that we do in some respects because we are wearing all the hats. Our guest today is Gil Efron. How to Give Your Business an Extreme Marketing Makeover is the book. Gil, tell us where we can go to get more information about you, take advantage of your services.
The best place is my website, and you can go to 10daymarketingmakeover.com, 10marketingmakeover.com. That's the best way to find me.
Excellent. We'll be looking forward to that. And we can also Google you. Let me spell his name just for those of you who might be looking for him that way. It's GILEFFRON. There's a great website with lots of information and to help you. You can buy the book there. You can also buy it on Amazon. And we've got more info, of course, at 10daymarketingmakeover.com. 10daymarketingmakeover.com. Gil, thank you so much for joining us today. I look forward to hearing more about you and following you and all your great work. You guys, thanks for joining us here on Indie Business Podcast. I'll see you next week. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.